into it here.
The Triple M Footy.
Listen to the fans.
Fan Podcast.
The second last Triple M Footy Fan Podcast for the year, because it is unbelievably the second last week for footy in 2019. Hasn't this season absolutely flown by?
It really has.
It really has. I mean, we're all ready for a rest, but boy, oh boy, has this season gone quick.
Feels like footy mania was just the other day.
Yeah.
It really does.
It was.
Feels like Melbourne were premiership favourites, just so recently.
so fleetingly.
Like I said, it is the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast, talking footy like you talk footy, to plenty to talk about as well from semi-final weekend of AFL action. Of course, we're going to kick off the pod with Legend of the Week. We're going to chat Tribunal. Brisbane out in straight sets. Cats somehow avoided straight sets. Essendon coaching succession plan. We know how well they worked out for Collingwood and Melbourne. Mm. And Dom Pike has been sacked. Willy Rioli. It was such a massive, massive day and week of footy. Of course, our three-word reviews for Brisbane and West Coast season. And, of course, we'll finish off with Flywire Doors. I'm Rabs Warren, of course, joined by Rudy Edsel.
And a good prelim week to you, Rabsy.
And a happy prelim weekend to you. And hello again to the delectable Ethan Meldrum.
Delectable. I'm having a very delectable off-season, I'll tell you that.
Of course, we have to kick off with Legend of the Week. And Ethan, we were told by our Geelong fan, Rudy, to step aside, boys. I've got this weekend.
He hasn't taken the new ball, he's stolen it.
Yeah, correct. That's right. Absolutely.
He's very much gone full Joffre Archer and just saying, like, leave it to me.
Try and pry this out of my hands. Yeah. It's Joel Selwood this week. What a human being.
Piss off.
What a human being he is.
Win another final, Rudy.
He's been absolutely pilloried all year, really, before his lack of output. And to be fair, he's had one of his less good seasons. But on Friday night against West Coast, he just put the boys on his back and said, we are not losing this. And he was so good all night.
He was. He did something he hasn't done all year, and I don't know why he hasn't. He played in the middle.
They've been playing him on the wing for some reason.
Yeah, he wasn't winning a lot of hard ball. I think he only had like 5 contest possessions or something. Mm. But I think it just made a lot more sense. It was just a lot more familiar for him. It just summed him up.
Like putting
play him in the middle.
Yeah,
he's Joel Selwood.
Like,
don't
like
stick him on a wing.
On your favorite pair of shoes, really. Playing in the middle for Joel.
Yeah.
He just, like I said, just put the boys on his back.
Except your pair of shoes are just profusely bleeding.
Yeah. You got to go tape them up in 20 minutes.
Yeah. In the commentary,
it's a bit of gauze.
The Duck said two pretty poignant things. He said, this man is, we're watching the best captain, one of the best captains of the modern era.
Yep.
And he said they should build a bronze statue of him at the front of Cardinia Park. And that statue should have tape around its head.
Yeah.
And just a little trickle of red coming down from its eyebrow.
Yeah, absolutely. He was just immense the other night. I couldn't... I was talking to our friend and colleague Tom Beers the other day, and we were sort of saying, I'm worried that he's going to become a bit like our Nathan Jones. You know, like, you've got to play him because he is who he is, but he's not really offering much because they're playing him on the wing away from the ball.
Mm.
Can you imagine Joel Selwood running around with like Wiley Buzzer and Jermaine Jones and the VFL at like 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning? It ain't gonna happen.
No.
It was a tremendous captain's performance in a final, and he just, like, when he took that intercept mark inside 50 and just went back and slotted it.
Yeah. I was there with my friend, and I said to her, you watch this. He will kick this. Mm. He never misses in the big moments. He just never stuffs up the big moments.
Yeah, look, I don't mind that Legend of the Week. Bit selfish, but I don't mind it. Let's move on.
I've got an actual...
my last chance to say good stuff about Geelong.
maybe not.
Yeah.
I've got an unbiased one. Second place, Luke Hodge for his Mad Monday get-up. He went as...
Oh, that was amazing, yeah.
He went as Geelong version Josh Walker. Yeah.
Bald.
Bald, minus the hair plugs. It is phenomenal. Go look it up.
Excellent.
And he is a Legend of the Week. Hats off to Hodgie. Great career. Second time retirement.
Oh, yeah. He retired. Yeah.
He won't come out again like Farnsey, but congratulations on a great career.
I do like that he didn't... There was no fanfare with him. There was no like, this year will be my last, boys. It was just like, after the game, everyone was like, is he done? Yeah, I think he's done.
Yeah, Fagan went up to him on the field and he goes, you done? He goes, yeah, I'm done. And then Lyons went up to carry him off and he just looked at him and shook his head and just walked off.
Yeah, fair shout.
Yeah.
He is a genuine legend.
He is a genuine legend.
Straight into the Hall of Fame. And then straight into the legends.
As soon as he's eligible.
We spoke about Joel Selwood. Let's talk about another Geelong player in Tom Hawkins. What was he thinking?
Come on, mate. For God's sake.
You can't roundhouse
blokes. You just can't do that.
I was waiting for the ball. No, you weren't.
Yeah, no, he absolutely wasn't. The Barry Hall 05 punched him in the guts to lead with the ball. Yeah. Please. What was he thinking? I think he must have thought they're going to lose. Oh, I'm just shitty. I'm just going to clock the nearest bloke. Strange call.
Mm.
And it was, as soon as I saw it, like, you could sort of feel the murmurings of the Geelong fans around us as they realised. Like, they played it on the big screen. Then everyone's going on. Everyone's checking Twitter and stuff. And then I looked at it and I was like, oh. It's a week.
Everyone's doing the MRO signs.
Yeah, he just couldn't not get a week. And they couldn't.
Oh, it's almost lucky to be just a week.
You reckon?
Oh, well.
It didn't hurt him.
Yeah.
Schofield played on.
Schofield was really pissed off after the game. Yeah. But in hindsight, it's probably his last game of footy. So maybe he was just cut that they'd lost a final.
That's true. Yeah. I think, aren't they mates, Schofield and Hawkins? I'm pretty sure they are.
Maybe.
But
I think that was a fair play, though. And this is probably the issue with the fine system, I guess, and it relates to the other tribunal issue that we'll touch on in a second, is that, you know, Tom Hawkins getting $1,000, $2,000 for, you know, constantly jumper punching blokes, which he's done throughout the last probably 4 or 5 years, doesn't make a difference. Like, he still does it.
A lot of that is...
It's been a real recurring problem for him.
Yeah, but he doesn't... He, I reckon, has copped the softest versions of those suspensions over time, Hawkins. It's just that
I don't get why, like, a jumper punch or like a club or something just isn't an automatic week in that sort of circumstance.
Yeah, well, that's probably fair to say.
Mm. Frustrating, I would feel, is the word you could probably use for Geelong as a footy club and Geelong as a playing group and supporter group towards Tom Hawkins. But he's probably
as a stadium and as a town.
But
and,
he's the most frustrated out of everyone. So yeah. I'm sure, you know, if Geelong win this week, then he's straight back in for a grand final. Mm. The other side of the coin, Toby Green finds himself once again in the tribunal. All cards on the table. We're recording this pod before the tribunal happens tonight. So he might get off or he might get a week suspension, but... Again, what is he doing?
I don't know. Well, they basically said to him last week, now don't you do this again. And he just went and did it again straight away.
See, again, he's copped a $7,500 fine. That's 1% of his salary.
Yeah.
He won't even notice if it gets taken out of his bank account.
No.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're with ANZ because they got shut down.
But it's like a puppy. It's like digging a hole and you're looking at it going, don't dig that hole.
Just stop.
And it looks at you. And then goes back and starts digging the hole. Like, it's exactly the same. Like, I think
he'll get off, though. I can't see how that can be suspension worthy. I'm not even 100% sure what happened, looking at the vision.
Yeah. My head says, that's way too dirty. He probably should cup a week. My heart says, he's probably the most entertaining player to watch in the comp at the moment.
Mm.
He needs to play in a prelim.
But
a prelim without Toby Green is the prelim.
Let's get Tom Hawkins in. I just don't think him.
You're a Geelong.
There's all these murmurings about vision that the AFL has that, you know, is a bit more conclusive of him doing something wrong. But, I mean, you're right. Like, you can't ping a bloke for, like, a little blurred vision.
Yeah,
like,
I think
has to be conclusive.
I reckon it'll get chucked out.
And Lachie Neal's saying, like, I thought he was going for my nose, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, you can argue that's eye region. You know, it's too hard, though, I reckon. Mm. I reckon it'll get chucked out.
But you shouldn't be going near bloke's face anyway.
No, you shouldn't.
No matter what. So, look, he could get a week or he could not. So, we'll find out later on this afternoon or tonight.
$1,000 fine for unnecessary nose picking and he'll play in the prelim.
Unnecessary nose picking. I was doing him a favour.
The team, had a laggy coming out. The team they played against, Brisbane, are out in straight sets, lost 2 home finals. Do they look at this season now as a failure, finishing second and losing two finals?
Could they?
I don't know. Look, it's pretty brutal, but they had probably the easiest draw in the history of draws and the history of the word easy.
Yeah.
And they had 2 home finals. They were set up to make a prelim, and they didn't get there.
They also had so few injuries that they had to not pick blokes for the NEFL team because they had too many listed players. The NEFL team, which went 20-0 and with a percentage of 225.
You'd be pretty stiff if you were like the 40th bloke on the list and be like, nah, you're not getting out of game in the NEFL.
You're not getting the game in the two. Sorry, Ryan.
But you've written brutal here. I think the brutality of it for Brisbane will come next season because They finished, well, they'll finish sixth technically on the ladder now, which means they're in that top six bracket. So the AFL, you know, does the draw now in like 1 to 6, 7 to 12, 13 to 18.
Next season they're playing Richmond twice, Geelong twice. Yeah.
So, don't know. But look, they're an exciting team.
I think they'll slide a little bit next year because they sort of, like, it was, like you said, it was a confluence of events that got them to second this year. I don't think it can happen exactly that way again, but I don't think they're going to Melbourne it. Put it that way.
They're also a bloody good team who who had as many scoring shots as Richmond in a qualifying final and had more against GWS and probably should have won if they hadn't kicked straight in a semi-final.
To me, they look like a team that hadn't played finals before. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They just things got tense. They tensed up instead of relaxing and executing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can sort of see that in teams like Brisbane. They played such brash footy to get there on adrenaline all the time, and then sometimes you've got to like lose the adrenaline and compose yourself a bit, and they just haven't learnt that yet.
Yeah, you Dustin Martins and your Josh Kellys aren't going to hit the post twice in the last quarter when the game's on the line.
No, they are not.
The other semi-final that we've touched on briefly with individuals is the Cats somehow avoiding a straight sets exit from the finals.
Yeah, it was everyone sort of... Last week you said you couldn't see a way West Coast lost this game.
I tipped the Cats.
You tipped the Cats.
I did.
Yeah. But, oh, sorry, I was pointing at Ethan. I forgot it's not a visual medium.
No, sorry.
Last week, Ethan said he couldn't see how West Coast could lose. And at the time, I was pretty much in agreement. And then they effectively didn't turn up for quarters one or four. West Coast, which
Where were they in the last quarter?
I didn't see anything in Geelong's performance to give any kind of, I'll put it this way, Tom Hawkins being out is the difference between a 10-goal loss and a 10-goal loss for Geelong on Friday night.
Well,
I didn't see anything.
Well, didn't they?
They did start well.
For the first time in a
while, so. But I didn't see anything in how they played on Friday night to give me any confidence of getting anywhere close to Richmond.
So you're saying, look, that last quarter particularly, because that was pretty shocking, was more West Coast bad or Geelong good?
No, Geelong were very good. Their defense really massively stood up. But I just, the rest of the game didn't really feel like, the thing is that Richmond can probably kick somewhat close to that score that West Coast kicked against us and win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, Geelong were 5 goals up and the way West Coast wrestled it back felt really easy.
It did, didn't it? Yeah.
It was more
they got within 3 goals and I was sort of going, oh boy, we're in a bit of strife, you know?
Like, yeah.
I can't see how Geelong can possibly get the game on their terms. It's
unlike West Coast to come back from 5 goals down in a final.
Yeah, tell me about it. That's what I was saying to people.
Rabs has given me nothing for
this. This is over. I was like, I've seen him do this before.
Rabs has given me nothing, but the look on his face is one of
pain. There was a few real good players stood up the other night for the Cats as well. Dangerfield's last quarter was ridiculous.
Oh, it was immense.
It was players that needed to stand up, like Asava Radicalia.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Brian Myers.
Cam Guthrie.
Tom Hawkins, we needed. Cam Guthrie was probably best on ground.
Cam Guthrie played his best game in 2 years for the football club. It was huge.
At least, yeah.
So they come up against a rampant Richmond on Friday night, but I actually think these two teams stack up well. You smashed them when you played them earlier in the year, but they did have a few injuries. But your back line and their forward line stack up against each other really well, I think.
Yeah, I do agree with that. It's just that their back line is way better than our forward line, sans Tom Hawkins, really. And I don't know. I just what I anticipate happening is Richmond will just turn the pressure up. Geelong's skills will go to shit, as they do. And that will be it.
I have this weird feeling Gary Rowan is just going to step up.
Yeah?
First time in finals history.
Oh, I would love that. You have no idea how much I love Gary Rowan.
Yeah.
When we got him, I was so pumped. I know everything about his limitations, but I just love him so much. I've always loved him since watching him at Sydney.
All right. So, breaking away from the finals, because this team can't win one, Essendon have announced a coaching succession plan.
Yeah.
Well, haven't officially announced it, but it's going to be announced from everything we've been told, that Woosha will coach in 2020 and then hand the reins over to Ben Rutten, big truck, for 2021. How do we see this working out?
I wouldn't mind getting an over-under on rounds until the first time Tim Watson or Matthew Lloyd call for the succession plan to be sped up, and I'd go probably round 6, 5.5.
I'm going to go over under 0.5. Yeah. It might happen in the preseason.
Yeah, it probably will. They'll have a loss in Wangaratta to Geelong.
They'll miss a flight.
Yeah. I don't understand why they didn't just pull the trigger on it. I'm not really sure what more, like, you know what I mean? Like, what can you get out of another year of Wusha? That you'd like, you're sort of a known quantity, I'd have thought. But then you can't sack him straight up to make the finals.
But Ben Rutten isn't. And he, you know, after 12 months of, you know, being under Wusha and being the, you know, senior coach in waiting, like, it is invaluable experience for a bloke who has won a premiership. Like, we know about his limitations in the box at the moment, but, yeah, he's John Worsfold.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Another big story from the week after we finished talking about Essendon now is Willie Rioli.
Willie's Willie.
Yes, Willie's Willie. We knew all the headlines were going to go full NT news on that.
Dodgy Willie.
Where do we start with this?
What's he doing, man? Oh. The poor kid. I feel really bad for him.
Silly Willie.
He's clearly just panicked.
Mm.
And that's it. It's going to cost him 4 years. They can't mitigate this.
Nah, once you start tampering with samples, like, there's no real black or white. Sorry, it is black and white. I mean,
There's no
yellow.
Sort of, yeah, or purple if he's used grape Gatorade.
Grape Gatorade.
Poor old Willie. I just feel for him, and I really like watching him play. So it's just
It's sad. He's a good egg.
Yeah.
Did a silly thing, and he's gonna pay for it.
But the sad thing is, that might be the last we see of Willie Rioli playing in the AFL. That's the sad thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's only been on the scene for a couple of years, but he's 24. He was a late comer to the game because he had some problems with fitness, and he didn't really hit his stride until he was about 19, 20, and then he got drafted. So he'll be 4 year banned. He'll be 28 when he comes back.
If he comes back,
and then he's going to get listed again because I don't see West Coast holding on to him for 4 years if he does get a 4 year ban. That's a long time
to hold one spot list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really long time. Ugh.
They may, but it's tricky.
Poor kid. So Brisbane and West Coast now, well, their season's over. And as we have for the last 2 weeks, we've been giving you 3-word reviews for the teams that are out of the premiership race, essentially.
Yeah.
So now we've got Brisbane and we've got West Coast.
Does that mean we do Geelong's one this week?
No, next week.
Yeah.
So I'll start with Brisbane, and just a pretty simple one. Thank you, Hodgie. He's helped turn that club around. Him with his mate Fags have helped turn that club around. And the abundance of draft picks, which they have used well, but they just look like a solid club. They're a destination club. Like,
looks like a fun place to be for the first time in ages.
Correct.
Remember when they lost an entire draft class in 1 year? Like Elliot Yeo and Jared Pollock and stuff. They all just left at the one time.
Was that when Tom Rockliffe called them the go home boys or whatever it was? Go back to your mum boys or something?
That sounds like Tom Rockliffe.
But thank you, Hodgie, is my 3-word review for the Brisbane season.
Turned it around.
Yep.
That's exactly what they've done. You know, they're no longer a cellar dweller. They're clearly a top six side. They've been playing that footy all year. It's where they finished. It's where they'll be next year.
All right. I'm not keeping in the theme with you guys. My 3-word review for Brisbane is learn to kick.
Oh.
Yeah, not bad.
You said they had the same amount of set shots as Richmond and then more than GWS.
I think they expected...
Just kick the goals, boys.
The champion data expected score thing over the two finals, they led them cumulatively by 20 points.
And
lost them both. Went out in straight sets.
Yeah.
Moving on to West Coast, we'll go the reverse order.
Yeah. My one for West Coast is never shook hangover. Ooh. They never really, even when they were flying, they didn't really look like they're out of second gear.
Mm.
And there were some games where they almost gave up.
But funnily enough, both grand final teams from last year have kind of played like they've got a bit of a hangover. Like, even Collingwood have been a little bit off this year.
Yeah.
Going at about 70%.
Yeah. Like, is it because, well, every team had a delayed start to preseason and then add an extra 4 weeks on for the two grand final teams? Do you reckon that makes, much of a difference?
Yeah. I mean, it quite probably.
Mm.
Collingwood looked sluggish all year, pretty much up until the first quarter of the Geelong game.
Yeah.
And West Coast, I thought, really... a couple of times struggled, like that Port Adelaide game where they looked really bad down in Geelong, and then for a couple of quarters, the Hawthorn game, which really badly cost them in the end.
Mm.
Yeah, I think there's a fair bit to that, actually. Yeah, even looking at Richmond, they struggled for ages and stuff. Like, obviously, they had injuries. And Melbourne, it ruined Melbourne's year, making the prelim.
So. I think for the first time in this finals series, we saw some cooler heads in West Coast defence kind of cock up a bit. So yeah. Tom Barrass, Jeremy McGovern probably had his worst game on the weekend for a long time.
His first quarter was the worst quarter I've seen him play for a really long time.
So, yeah, I don't mind that. Can't shake hangover. Mm. I don't mind that.
Thanks to the round 23 game that cost the Eagles a top four spot and probably a shot at the premiership, Clarko's too good.
Yeah. Isn't he? He's just, he's the looming shadow over the rest of the AFL at all times,
they,
Clarko.
They can finish outside the eight as many times as they want. They'll still have an influence on the premiership race.
Yeah.
Mine is pretty simple. I'm ready to turn your microphone down or headphones down. Welcome Tim Kelly, because he's going to win a Brownlow in West Coast colours next year. He's going to be just unbelievable.
How about when he kicked that goal, the third goal of the first quarter, where he roved the McGovern tap and then just sprinted around and kicked the goal? I reckon even West Coast fans were like, yep, well done.
Thank you, Tim.
I remember when...
just a sample.
When Paddy was coming to Geelong, we played them in round 23 and they, I think we beat them. And Paddy kicked a goal, a set shot goal. Paddy Dangerfield kicked a set shot goal, and all the Geelong fans gave him a standing
ovation. Oh, yeah.
Because they knew
that
he was
at
coming.
GMHBA Stadium.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. The Moggs Creek faithful. Yeah. He had already had three properties in Moggs Creek given to him.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to round out this semi final edition of the Triple M Footy Fan podcast. Or is it preliminary final edition?
Oh, whatever it is.
Whatever. Semi-premi.
It's all is.
With our fly-wire doors. Ethan, do you mind kicking us off this week?
Yeah. If the favourites in Richmond and Collingwood get up in the preliminary finals, which is what is, I suppose, most likely to happen, then I am moving out of Melbourne next week. He's going to be unbearable.
Collingwood-Richmond.
Collingwood-Richmond grand final. Ooh. Do not want a bar of it. It will be disgusting.
Mm. Okay, my flyweight.
Sorry to the millions of Collingwoods and Richmond fans.
No, no, look, I'm one of them, and it will be disgusting.
Yeah. Swan Street will be, oh boy.
Glad I live west of the city.
Swan Street will be a demilitarised zone. <It's> like...
It will be Melbourne's Chernobyl. my flyweight doors is this. If Toby Green gets off his 1 week suspension, then look out Braden Maynard's face. He's going to go someone, and Braden Maynard, he's just got that. He's antagonistic, and I think Toby Green
always quirky, always antagonistic.
Yeah, I was listening to Jeremy Howe on the Hot Breakfast in Melbourne this morning, and Will Anderson asked him, "Who's got the most gougeable face?" And I was thinking it, and Jeremy Howe said it. It's Braden Maynard.
It's Bruzzy.
Bruzzy.
Yeah. That's his nickname.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome.
Self-appointed.
Braden Bruzzy Maynard.
Yeah.
The Bruzz dog.
You got to love the way he goes, like, blokes like that go about it. You really do.
I think I think he still has Gary Ablett in his pocket, actually, Braden Maynard.
And footy shots don't even have pockets. Yeah. He's sewn one in there.
Keys, wallet, phone. Gary
Ablett.
Gaz. The goat. Okay. My fly war doors. If Richmond spank Geelong on Friday night, then prepare yourselves for the hilarious gags about home ground advantage.
Is that a...
I can't wait.
Is that a not... Is that a not if when? Is that a when then?
Yeah, well, when then. I do like...
then.
I like that we had Geelong playing Richmond in a final all year.
Well, we got it.
In here, and then we finally got it a couple of weeks later as my one of my mates tagged me in one of our posts and said that. So
at Geelong's home ground?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very funny.
The mighty MCG.
Yeah, geez, you've nailed that gag.
Is there any way we can change like AFL rules and protocol to Geelong can pick Mason Cox to replace Tom Hawkins? Because he does love a prelim against Richmond.
He does. He does.
Just wheel out Alex
hopefully,
Rance
hopefully
on one
Asava Radicalea plays that role. Or Wiley Buzzer.
And Darcy Forte. That is another Triple M Footy Fan podcast. Talk of footy like you talk footy. We'll be back next week. Grand final week. I cannot believe it. Make sure you keep it tuned in. Where am I at? Friday night for the first preliminary final.
You're already at the G on Saturday, mate.
Geelong.
That's where you are.
I hope the Pies do better than that one.
And Collingwood versus GWS rounding it out after the Saturday rub. Triple M.
I've never heard our song this late.
Rocks
awesome.
Footy.